the chairman.
Okay, we're gonna reconvene the meeting, call it to order, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, your next item is 321-08, still under your public hearings for rezoning cases. This is P-17-08 in the Brooklyn District, Noodles and Company. It is a request for a provisional use permit in accordance with Chapter 24 of the County Code in order to allow outside dining for the proposed Noodle and Company restaurant located at the southeast corner of the intersection of West Broad Street and Willowon Drive, that's in the Willowon Shopping Center. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, P-17-08 is a request to allow Noodles and Company, a proposed restaurant at Shops at Willowon, to operate a 314-square-foot outside dining area. This area would be located on the northern side of the restaurant, adjacent to the sidewalk and parking area facing West Broad Street. It would be recessed within the store area, and I was trying to find, you can see how it sits back in this elevation. So it does not encroach onto the sidewalk area. Site is Zone B2 and designated commercial concentration on the 2010 land use plan. B2 zoning allows outside dining with provisional use permit. Several restaurants within the Willowon Shopping Area provide outside convenience seating, including Dairy Queen, Panera Bread, and Starbucks. Outside dining is also provided at Chipotle Restaurant, which is located across West Broad Street, approximately 450 feet from the site. The applicant has submitted several renderings to illustrate the location and design of the proposed outdoor restaurant. This is the seating plan, again the elevations, and then the railing that will be used to separate the outdoor dining from the sidewalk. Based on the proposed location, description, and 12 recommended conditions, an outside dining area would be an appropriate use at this location. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission at its October 9th meeting recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Take it back to the site plan that shows where it is on the building itself. Okay. In other words, that's right behind or beside Dairy Queen?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. And Dairy Queen has outside dining, and so does Starbucks?
Yes, sir, they do. They have convenience seating,
right,
and this is outside dining, requiring a provisional use permit because they do actually do service versus carry out, but it's very similar.
So they have waitresses or waiters going out and waiting on table?
Yes, sir, they do.
Okay. Do they have alcohol?
No, sir, I don't believe that they do.
Okay. Can they serve alcohol outside?
Under the provisional use permit, let me look and see. I don't believe we prohibited it. If they get an ABC license, they may be able to. We did not prohibit it in the conditions for the provisional use permit. We could add that if you would like. If they obtained an ABC license under this provisional use permit, they could, yes, sir.
Does Noodles in other areas have an ABC license?
I'm not sure about that, sir.
Isn't there a Noodles off of Cox Road?
The Wild Noodles, I believe,
is
the name of that one. I'm not sure that one's in operation any longer.
Oh, really? Because they had outside dining, and I don't think they served alcohol.
But you could add that, we'll get to you in a minute, sir. You could add a condition because it is a provisional use.
Yes, sir, you can.
Okay, go ahead. When he gets up to speak, I'll just ask him.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Emerson? Do you want to hear from the applicant?
I just want to ask him that one question. He was anxious to speak, as a matter of fact. Come on. Come on. They have applied for ABC license.
Good evening. My name for record is Benjamin Bixby, and they have applied for a license, but they have not got approval granted at this time. And they do serve alcohol in their restaurants.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Is that it?
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if you want to hear it from anybody else on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Is anybody in the audience who has any concerns or would like to speak to this case for or against? Okay.
I'd like to add the condition of no alcoholic beverages being served on the outside. That's number 13.
Okay.
That's specifically on the outside, Mr. Bubbs?
Just the outside.
Okay. That's been added. Anything else?
I don't know if there's any opposition, Mr. Miller.
Well, nobody wanted to speak.
I would recommend we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission with the added condition. What condition number? Number 13.
All right.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to approve the case with the additional condition, 13. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay, that case is approved.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 322-08, being Parham Road Properties, has been deferred until February 10, 2009. The last rezoning consideration for this evening, 323-08, being P-16-08 in the Fairfield District. This is new singular wireless. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the Code of the County in order to construct a 120-foot-high internal array monopole telecommunications tower and its related equipment. It's located on the west line of Upham Drive and approximately 500 feet north of its intersection with Wilkinson Road. This would be in the Chamberlain Farms Shopping Center. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. This is a request for a provisional use permit to install a 120-foot-high telecommunication tower and the related equipment at the Chamberlain Farm Shopping Center. The shopping center is zoned B2C. The adjacent developments include Chamberlain Elementary School, Chamberlain Farms, and Wildwood subdivisions to the north and west. A gas station and church are located to the south across Wilkinson Road. The structure itself would be located on the northeast side of a one-story retail building. The equipment would be located at the base and surrounding the tower, and this would be the retail building here. The equipment would be enclosed by an 8-foot-high masonry wall, and the lease area would be 750 square feet. And this shows a better illustration of the proposed masonry wall. That would actually connect to the building. The tower itself is supposed to be a taper monopole with antenna space for three wireless providers. As mentioned, all the antennas would be concealed inside the pole structure. All required setbacks, including fall zone setbacks from residential zone property and dwellings, would be met. The applicant did conduct a balloon float and did submit photo simulations to demonstrate the structure's visibility. The tower would be visible from Wilkinson Road and to varying degrees along and within the neighborhoods. There is mature tree cover which would help mitigate the view from much of the surrounding area. However, there has been concerns and opposition voiced by adjacent residents regarding the visual impact. Because of these concerns, the applicant proposes to provide supplemental planning at the northeast corner of the shopping center along Dirk Drive and Upham Drive and along portions of Wilkinson Road. This is indicated in recommended condition number 5 and by a letter of intent to plant in accordance with this conceptual plan shown before you. Some of the overall mitigation with the concept plan, we showed that corner before, and this is the simulated tower. They do propose a series of trees from 10 to 20 to 50 foot at height, the ultimate growth, which would help mitigate the vision from the adjacent residents. And again, these are photo simulations, and Wilkinson would be over here. And that's with the concept plan. The subject parcel is recommended for commercial concentration in the land use plan. The land use plan does acknowledge the growing and changing needs for communication services and the absence of suitable alternative location does make some allowances for the placement of towers near residential areas if potential impacts are mitigated. By selecting a commercial use, proposing a height proportionate to surrounding and proposed supplemental trees, the use of internal concealed weapons, I mean, good Lord. Concealed antennas.
Something on your mind?
In no way, this is a repertoire. It's been a long night. The applicant's request does minimize the structure's overall visual impact while still allowing for co-location opportunities. For these reasons, the request does demonstrate consistency with the 2010 land use plan, and staff believes the site could be an acceptable location for the proposed structure subject to the conditions in your staff report. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at their October 9, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Real quick. The concealed part that you mentioned, that means that it's just a pole. There are no, you know, there's nothing sticking out from it.
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
And there are no, like, top hat or big microwave dishes or something.
That's
it's
correct.
It's all in the pole.
It's like a flagpole.
Okay. I just wanted to...
They also call it a slick stick. There's another...
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Just wanted to put that straight. All right.
That elevation you got, can you show the base layer? Too?
The base, yes, sir.
Okay. The that's the equipment building around the base there?
Yes, sir.
Is it a block building? And it's
The retail building, the one story, is this would actually abut it, and it does consist of masonry 8 foot high, which would enclose the whole equipment compound.
Right. Masonry block fence around the...
Well,
yes, sir.
The building itself is concrete, right?
Right.
I mean, everything's contained within that, right?
Right, yes, sir.
So there wouldn't be a fence around that, would there, or would there?
No, this shows it also. This is the side of the building.
Right.
And the masonry wall would go along here.
Right, okay. And that's 75 square feet, you said?
It's 750 square feet.
750. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other questions?
Is that finished masonry?
I believe so. They don't specify. We do believe masonry, and they're showing brick, but of course that could exist of other masonry type equivalent to, and a portion of that, Mr. Thornton, is also to intend to serve as a sound barrier for their equipment as well.
It doesn't match the building side.
It wouldn't completely match. I believe the building and the applicant, the owner, could speak to it. It would blend with the masonry use, but there are some different textures, I think.
Compatible. Okay, any other questions, Ms. Moore? Okay, want to hear the case?
I think we have some persons in opposition. Want to say?
Right.
I think there are some.
There is opposition. Is there opposition here tonight? Okay. Y'all, we'll hear the case.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Gloria Fry. I'm an attorney from McGuire Woods here on behalf of AT&T Mobility. So how do I get back to my show? How do I get back to my presentation? I thought it was the next one. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Thank you. We also have here with us this evening Larry West. Larry is a radio frequency engineer, and he's going to be available to respond to questions. I would like to ask for some time for rebuttal, as we do have opposition, and also ask that you allow...
Can you move that mic?
And that you also allow for the property owner to be able to make some comments as well. I do want to thank the staff for their thorough report and recognize how very responsive they've been to the citizens about this case. They've put a lot of time and work into this. There are key points in the staff report that I would like to emphasize, three of those. The pole is on commercial zoned property, and that is consistent with the county's guidelines for locating towers. Also, the fact that there are mature 60 to 70 foot trees
that are tall, that tall throughout this residential neighborhood, and that they significantly limit the visibility of this pole from the majority of the homes. And also that this is a stealth design. As Ms. Moore was showing you, this would be the pole, all the antennas, axles, cables, everything are internal, Ms. O'Bannon. And Mr. Cackley, at the base, you can see that masonry wall extend right out from the shopping center wall. And we've termed the condition masonry, but actually the front of that is going to be white brick, just like the front of the shopping center. The walls to the side and the back are going to be blocked like the rest of the shopping center, but also white as well. So that equipment will be totally concealed from view. I do want to focus on four main issues in this case. First, I want to establish that there is a need for AT&T to have a facility in this area and to show that the proper due diligence was done by the company in filing this application. The next thing I'd like to do in the presentation is to give you a couple examples of what that visibility is from the residential properties. I also want to show you again the landscape plan that Ms. Moore referred to, and ultimately how that will create better screening for the pole and even the shopping center itself. And then finally, to present some evidence that these facilities are not likely to reduce property values. There was concern expressed by the citizens during the citizen meetings that we had and also at the commission about health effects. And as you know, that's not the basis. Federal law prevents that being a basis for regulating these facilities. However, we did address that issue, and there are materials that are in the file that explain that these emissions are in compliance with the FCC regulations. It's very low power, and that it's in a very safe range, along with the level of like a microwave oven in your house or a baby monitor in a house. And these materials were shared with the citizens as well. The next two slides are intended to illustrate the need that the company has. This is a propagation map which shows the poor service that they're trying to correct. If I can find my little arrow. This red dot right here in the center is Chamberlain Farms Shopping Center. This yellow area that you see here signifies that the coverage that they get there is just outside coverage. The blue that's around it is the coverage, the service that you get in a car. What having a facility in this location would do, the objective is to turn that surrounding area, the yellow and the blue, to green, so it would connect to these green areas where AT&T has antennas and give in-building coverage in this area. The next map shows what that proposed coverage could be accomplished with the Chamberlain Shopping Center here. It would, with 120 feet, would allow that in-building coverage that they're trying to accomplish. When you draw a ring around this area and you see the gap in service, that ring encompasses about a half-mile radius. That becomes their search area. So within that search area, the first thing they look for is an existing tower that they could co-locate on. In the search ring, there actually is a tower. It's on the school property at the Chamberlain Elementary, but it's only 100 feet tall. It's not in service. It's not designed for co-location. And that property is actually zoned residential. So for those reasons, that was not a candidate for them to co-locate on. The next guideline that the county offers is that if you can't find an existing tower to co-locate on, look for industrial property. There is no industrial property within the search ring. The next order of preference is commercial property. The commercial properties in this search ring are the Chamberlain Shopping Center, which is zoned B, as Ms. Moore explained. Actually, it's B2C. There's some office zoning, and then on the south side of Wilkinson, there's some commercial zoning over here as well. When you look at the commercial properties here that would follow the guidelines, you will then have to look for property that's going to meet the setback requirements. The shopping center was the only property that could meet that requirement, and it's at the northeast end of the shopping center where we can meet the setbacks and the fall zone. The next map that I'm showing you is a map that shows all the existing towers within a 3-mile radius. The red dot in the center is the Chamberlain Farm Shopping Center. That first ring is a quarter mile. The next ring is the half mile, which is the search ring that they had. And then the next ring goes out to a mile. You can see that the towers they're trying to connect to out here and out here, the yellow dots, are outside the search ring that they're trying to find a location in. So the only way to meet that need is to find a location. Oh, I'm sorry. That's, which way did I go?
Can you put that circle map back up?
I went the wrong way. Let me go back. And I'm not going backwards. How do you go backwards, Jeff?
Hey.
Because it's right. No.
There's your previous.
Back to the circle that Mr. Caffley was asking about.
Well,
you're doing this.
Sorry, I see. Hey, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What's the different radius? You know, how far out is the mile there?
The mile is at this point right
okay.
here.
Okay. That's where the service is mainly lacking. Yeah.
Actually, the gap in the service is in this half-mile circus, the first circle and the second circle. This actually does give them in-building coverage in this area, and they do have in-building coverage here. They don't have it here, but with that, it would connect those, make that link.
The 120-foot antenna should have, what, a mile radius? Or?
No, sir. You know, it changes. Height is not really the determining factor. In this case, because we're trying to get signal in to penetrate buildings, proximity of the antennas is important because of the signal strength to penetrate the buildings.
Okay.
We did do a balloon float, as Ms. Moore discussed. The next map shows you that we took photographs from 12 different locations to check that visibility. I'm not going to show you all 12 of those, but I would like to quickly run through some of them. This is from Wilkinson, which you've already seen. This is the commercial side of the property. It is the most exposed side, but it is the commercial side of the property. The next is from 305 Wilkinson. It's just west of the shopping center. You're getting into the residential neighborhood, looking back at the shopping center. And this area right here is where the office side of the commercial property is. The next is from the Chamberlain Baptist Church, which is directly across the street, and this is the view that they have. One thing that I would comment is that the trustees of the church have told us that they are not opposed to having that facility there. The next is from Dan Ray, and that street parallels Wilkinson, and it's behind the church. So you're looking back toward, looking to the north toward the shopping center, and you can see that this residential property even has an antenna on it. The next is Willaka Lane, which Ms. Moore has shown you, and this is a residential street. It dead ends into Upham, and the homes on the street face each other. They don't face the shopping center. But when folks are coming out of their residential street and stop at this intersection, they're staring right into the shopping center, and of course there is the tower that's over to the side. And so with the supplemental landscaping to mitigate the view of the shopping center and the pole is when we introduce the Colorado spruce and these shrubs that ultimately will grow to 10 feet in height. Similarly, we looked at the intersection of Upham and Dirk, and you see the shopping center parking lot. You can see that the tower is partially screened by an existing tree. But if you plant a tree similar to those, ultimately it would grow and hide the pole entirely from this residential neighborhood back here. The landscape plan that Ms. Moore showed you is going to concentrate the plantings on the residential sides of the neighborhood and the shopping center, but we've also included landscaping along Wilkinson to improve the streetscape and the appearance of the shopping center property. Ultimately, the trees would grow to 10 foot, 20 feet, and 50 feet tall. AT&T is committing to buy all of the landscaping and to install it, and the Cooks, who own the property, have committed in writing to maintain that landscaping. As part of that plan, they've also agreed that any plants that are there now that are not in good condition would be replaced. The last issue I would like to address is property values that was raised as a concern by the neighbors. There was a 1999 study done in Henrico County and Chesterfield County by certified general real estate appraisers, and that study found that communication towers do not have a measurable negative impact on surrounding residential property values. That study is copyrighted. I was not able to reproduce that and provide it to you, but we took the information from that study and particularly looked at Doubletree Subdivision, which is located off Francistown Road. We went to that subdivision to see what the view and the proximity of the towers to that subdivision are. There are two towers there. One is at 305 feet. One is at 168 feet. And I can show you a few photographs of those towers and those homes. This is at the intersection of Francistown and Singletree. You can see that it's a very tall lattice style with exterior antennas. This is a view of that tower from the residential street, and this is a view of the tower above the rooftops. The homes in the subdivision have actually steadily increased in value since 1999. They've increased in value from 92% to 116%. So it is reasonable to think that if the value of these homes, close to and in view of large obtrusive towers like this, if they're not negatively impacted in property value, that the proposed 120-foot stealth design tower that's mitigated with tree growth in the neighborhood would not have a negative impact. We did poll the assessors in Henrico, Chesterfield, Goochland, and Hanover, and we asked them if they make adjustments for proximity or view of towers when they're assessing assessed values. And to a person, they said no, they make no value adjustments at all for towers of any design. In working with the citizens, we did send letters to all adjacent property owners. There were two community meetings that were held. Five of the 10 people that attended the first meeting expressed no opposition. The Civic Association had no opposition until shortly before the Planning Commission. We had a second meeting to address those concerns. There were, I think, close to 50 people that came to that meeting. But even after that meeting, 8 people came up and said, we're no longer opposed. You've answered our questions. 4 people said, we don't personally have a problem with it, but because of the association and our neighbors, we're just going to not take a position. As I said before, the trustees of the church who have a direct view and significant investment in their property are not opposed. And there's a letter in your file from Nick Minetti, one of the citizens who initially was opposed and had concerns, but after the second meeting wrote the letter that his concerns had been addressed. So in conclusion, we ask that you follow the recommendations of the staff and the commission, and that you approve the provisional use permit with the suggested conditions. The conditions have been reviewed both by AT&T and the property owner, and they are in agreement with them. And we'll be glad to respond to questions.
Okay. Board members, any questions for Ms. Fry?
Ms. Fry, I think I asked you this before. The tower on Parham.
Mm-hmm. Parham and 95?
Yes.
Yes.
And why could not that tower be used instead of this proposed one?
Okay. And that tower is on VDOT property, but I believe it's owned by Sprint. And I have Mr. Larry West here, who's the radio frequency engineer that ruled that tower out. And I think we actually have some propagation maps to show you why that does not work. Very good.
Again, my name is Larry West. I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Larry West. I'm a radio frequency engineer for AT&T Mobility. In studying this area very closely, I ran propagation studies for all the surrounding towers, Initially, Sprint was the ideal candidate because it's quick and easy. After running the studies, however, in more detail, the Sprint tower is just too far away to provide in-building coverage for the residential area, being that it's about under a mile away. So in order for us to penetrate the buildings within that area where the white spot is, we have to be within that half-mile radius. And the half-mile radius really only accounts for wintertime, because the propagation study does not account for tree density. In actuality, and with the tree density, there are some people who are on the border of the half-mile radius may not actually get in-building coverage in the summer because of the tree density. So that's pretty much at 120 feet. When you're talking in terms of in-building, yes, we'll have coverage there, but in-building coverage, you have to be more so in the proximity of what you're trying to target as opposed to just a higher tower or things of that nature.
So, Mrs. Fry, my follow-up question then is, if that's the data on that particular tower, what would the company do if this site here was not a feasible site?
If this location is not deemed to be appropriate, the company would not be able to get in-building coverage to those residents. There's no other tower or location in that search ring that would get the coverage inside the building.
And you're saying also that this tower technology has, I think, accelerated over the years, and there is no recent technology that would cause the expansion of this at all?
No, sir. The technology itself has not really changed. The objectives and the services that they are trying to provide have changed. There's a lot more wireless data, and there's a lot more reliance on people relying on their cell phones, wanting them to use them in their homes, in their offices, in their businesses, and not rely on their landlines like they have in the past.
I guess I can answer that more so. When you're speaking in terms of the coverage itself, it's not really the technology. The restriction is the frequency that it's operating on. So being that we're operating on 1900, we cannot cover as far as if we were at a lower band. So you have to think in terms of AM versus FM. AM can travel a lot further, so therefore not as many towers as required. So no matter what kind of technology we come up with, we are coming up with better technology, faster broadband, things of that nature. We're still restricted by the frequency that we're operating on, and that's really what causes so many towers to be needed.
One of the things, Mr. Thornton, is when you see even on this map that's on the screen now, with the white and the yellow area, it covers, if we can get the Chamberlain Farms site, it will cover this search ring, the half mile, but it's not going to even correct all of this up here. They're going to need a second antenna location up here. And what they're looking for in that area is looking at industrial zoned land on an existing tower that they can try to get an extension and co-locate. But even having this one is not going to solve that whole problem. They're going to have to have another antenna site to the north.
So I guess the converse of my question then is that if this particular site was not available in the future, then there still will be a search for to try to find the suitable site for this.
If this site is not approved, they will have to abandon this site. They just won't be able to get the in-building coverage there. There's just nothing else that would fit the county's criteria or will work in that search ring. They just won't be able to give their customers that level of service.
Okay, additional question, too. I thought I heard the suggestion. Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what's the technology? What's the future here? Are we moving more from landlines to cell phones?
Yes, sir, we are.
Is that the empirical data?
Yes, sir.
Is that empirical data to show that?
There was just a study that I read and that was reported in the newspaper last week that people were being interviewed of
in a recession, you know, what would they do to cut their budget? And they said, well, we would not give up our computers for wireless communications, and we would not give up our cell phones. One of the statistics that I quoted at the Planning Commission from Henlico County Police is that 64% of the 911 calls are now made from wireless phones. It's the younger generation. I think it was shown up even in the election polls that the younger generation weren't getting those polling calls because they have cell phones and they don't have landlines.
You just cost yourself.
it's the younger generation that don't even wear wristwatches now because they have the time on their cell phone. I don't know if Mr. Donati wears a watch or not, but the trend is toward the cell phones and the reliance on the cell phones and giving up landlines. I don't think businesses are going to be giving up their lines anytime soon, but new home buyers are saying, what's my coverage here? I don't want to get a landline. We've talked to a couple of realtors who said that their home purchasers asked them, what kind of coverage do we get here? One of the neighbors that came to the second meeting, I talked to her afterwards, and she's an older lady, and she, I'm not going to give her name, but she said, I was at the meeting, I have no issues with that pole going up, it was only the one woman that I felt really had an issue. It's going to be much improved if we get that shopping center landscaped. Golly knows it's been a mess for years, and I don't even have a cell phone. But if I had one, and I had to go outside in the rain to make a call, I would not be a happy camper. And this is from the older generation, recognizing that as new families come into that neighborhood, that they are going to want to have good cell phone coverage.
I have a question.